Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. We have a very interesting guest this evening, Joachim Hagopian. He is a writer, a mental health professional, an ex-military person. After he left the military, he earned a master's degree in clinical psychology and worked as a licensed therapist. In the mental health field, he has a very interesting blog that's called American Empire Exposed, and that URL is empireexposed.blogspot.com. And today we're going to talk about a very difficult subject called pedophilia, and particularly how it relates to the Catholic Church. And this is something that I think needs to be talked about, and something our society needs to pay close attention to. Joachim, are you there?
Hi, Mark.
It's good to have you back on the show. You're always very... you have so much information, and it's great to have a guest on that I can just kind of give him the ball and let him run sometimes, you know. You're a lot that way. Let me throw one question at you in the beginning, and then I'll let you go whichever direction you want. Have you heard what happened with Cardinal Pell? Is he getting prosecuted, or what's going on with that?
Well, of course, at the time that he was sent back to Australia to face his charges, there was a lot of publicity. That was, about a month ago? And I haven't heard too much since, but my understanding is that there have been charges filed in Australia, and he will have to, face them. And I think with a lot of publicity surrounding it, I don't think they're just going to throw it out and then face all the negative publicity of non-response, as it is, Pope Francis is facing a lot of that himself, because he seems to, talk a good hat and say, oh, yeah, we're going to get tough on these pedophiles, and then he turns around and does the opposite and begins lessening their punishments. They've been slated to be defrocked, some of these child rapists, and he allows them to continue to stay as priests or bishops, cardinals. I mean, they're rampant all the way up and down the ranks. But he has actually lessened the punishment of that the church has already established against these people, and So I can't say that I'm optimistic that hell is going to do time. I can't be all that like it's for sure. But the chances are there is going to be some kind of consequence that will come his way, and hopefully it will be fair to his victims. That's the key, is that the victims be heard and justice be done. And so we'll see what happens on that.
Were the Knights Templars Satan worshippers?
In my research, yes. Their story is very fascinating. There were people that lived in Palestine, in the Holy Land, during the Roman Empire days, where basically there was a group of people that fled they had possessions of relics, and there were nine noblemen knights, and they actually, their families had gone to southern France to avoid the oppression of the Roman Empire, and so, you know, they left some of their treasures and relics buried in hidden places, and then moved to France, and at the time of I guess it was the 1107 or something, just get a correct data. They started in the very early part of the 11th century, 12th century after, and there were nine knights that started it, and they went to Jerusalem, and where their families had been living centuries earlier, and they started this order of Templar knights, and they got approval from the Pope, and so it was officially endorsed as a militia of the Roman Catholic Church. And ostensibly, the purpose, you know, the public purpose, was to protect the crusaders, the Christian crusaders, going to their holy land in Palestine and Jerusalem from Europe, and killing basically mostly Muslims, but the Jews also were killed by the Christians in mass. And basically, these were crypto Jews that actually started the order. And crypto means like they're hidden. They are converts to other religions other than the Jewish faith. A lot of times they did it for survival purposes, because obviously the Jews have a long history of persecution, so they converted overtly to other religions to basically survive. But they also retained their original religion, the Jewish religion, and secretly practiced it. And the roots of it were Kabbalistic. And so the story of the Templars is they got authorization from the Pope to be a military secret society that would protect the crusaders traveling to the Holy Land. And what came of that is they got authorization from the King of Jerusalem, King Baldwin, to be able to set up headquarters adjacent the Solomon Temple, the Temple Mount, the holy ruins that were there, and they basically did some archaeological excavation, and there were deep underground caverns that they had access to, and were able to actually recover some very secret knowledge and secret relics and ancient pieces from centuries earlier that go back to Solomon's days, and this gave them an added edge, basically, in information and knowledge and power, and so they used it, and they used it well, to the extent that they did increase their power. It was like almost an overnight effect, where they only lasted two centuries, but during the two centuries, they really rose in power over Europe. It was a very popular order. They got a lot of good publicity from a guy named Saint Bernard, and who was very well known in southern France, and so with the Pope's backing their reputation, you know, climbed to the heights, and they eventually got into banking. But yes, they did actually have ceremonies. They were never, in my estimation, based on my research, they were never truly Christian. They were never believers in Christ. They had a cult, Kabbalistic roots in their belief system, and they actually did resort to occult activities, part of the wallet findings and the secret knowledge that they had access to. And apparently they were worshiping a skull, probably, that came known as Baphomet. And of course, Baphomet it's kind of an icon now. But that icon of the, well, the goat with a female breast and the horns and all, and basically it came to symbolize the devil. That actually evolved. That actual icon image of Baphomet evolved in the 1870s, I believe, and so it came much later. But originally, believed that they were worshiping a skull that gave them the secret knowledge and power that allowed them to become bankers, basically. They became the, as far as history goes, they became the first bankers to actually give credit. It was a whole new introduction of banking to the Western world. And of course, it evolved basically into the system that exists today, which is, of course, a debt-based slavery system where out of thin air they create this debt that people have, and they basically own the system, economic system, creating money out of thin air. And that's pretty much the start of how that evolved, was from the Knights of Templars, that the pragmatics of it was the crusaders, rather than be robbed along the way, because obviously it was a very treacherous trek from Europe down to, heading south and east to the Holy Land. And so it was set up whereby the crusaders would turn in all their worldly possessions, gold and anything that they had of value, and they would get pieces of paper, basically, that they had this much credit. And then they had stations, the Templars had stations along the way, whereby they could turn in their piece of paper and then make use of it as a sustenance, material goods that they could actually survive on as they travel. And so in a way, it kind of sounds like a good concept, because it saved them from, a lot of the thievery that could have happened along the way. And, in that way, it sounds practical. But in the other way, though, it does set up this monetary system whereby there are usury card sharks that actually step on out of thin air, make all this profit off the backs and labors of the people. And really, got picked up a few centuries later by a Rothschild. Amsel Rothschild in the 1700s. He was the same guy that said he said something to the effect of, "Give me the source of money, and it doesn't matter who's in the government. I own them." And it's been like that ever since. So for a long time, the Rothschild family, of course, became the Bank of England, and they took over the City of London, which is a separate sovereign entity from UK, and that's basically the Western source, the headquarters for the monetary control of the Western civilization is from the City of London, and of course then they have the military branch, which is the Washington D.C. area, where the World Empire sends their troops out, and I just had a article reposted on Global Research by Mikhail Chalkodowski, stop supporting our troops. You know, it's time to stop supporting our troops because our troops have gone around the world for the last, since World War II, which is now over, 70 years. And they've killed at least 1 million people in this world. So obviously D.C. is the military headquarters of conquest, world conquest. And then we have Rome, which of course is the, quote, religious headquarters of conquest, world conquest. So this triad of evil powers go from the economics and the Rothschilds and the royalty of Europe and England, and the Dutch also royalty. There's the black nobility royalty that are always undermining and infiltrating and reclaiming kingdoms. Their whole goal is to reclaim lost kingdoms. And they've infiltrated all the governments. And I say they, meaning there are secret societies. Now, okay, we'll go back to the Templars. They kind of branch off into different sections, but I'll go back to the Templar story because it is very fascinating. And of course, it's gotten a lot of publicity, many books on it. But a lot of books have been written by Freemasons or Catholics, and it's always usually from those authors comes the story of, for instance, King Arthur and this round table. And it's all noble and chivalry and all this wonderful, these guys are the warriors to emulate. They're the good guys. All this, deep propaganda bullshit. There might have been elements of truth in it, but they were much darker than what most of the material you'll find on these guys. It sugarcoats it all. And you dig a little deeper into the research, you will find actually that these guys were devil worshippers. Yes, they were.
Huh.
They had as their initiation ceremony, just to show you that they weren't really true Christians, they actually would piss on a holy cross, and they would curse it, and defile it, and jump on it, and break it, and then they also had as their initiation ceremony where they would kiss the ass of the Grand Marshal, the Grand Master, that's his name, the Grand Master of the group of Templars. They would be kissing his ass, literally. And they also apparently were homosexual. They at least granted permission for them to relieve themselves sexually with each other. Of course, part of their initiation rules were that they must be celibate from having any kind of sexual relations with women. So they actually did engage in homosexuality, which at the time, of course, all the way up to 1957 or something, I think, in the UK, it was a crime and came, I guess, applies in America. And they actually engaged in pedophilia as well and sexuality. They're real heavy, dark shit they engaged in. And I don't care how much you want to sugarcoat, they did some of these things that were, they made it all like, I'll continue with the story. They came to all this power in the 12th century, and they were able to, as part of their become a knight. You have to be of noble blood, so obviously you are a man of means, and they had to give up all their worldly resources, their castles, and also the royal families from all over Europe were also giving them castles and lots of money, and that's how they turned their their system into a banking system where they just made millions they made the powers of the 12th and 13th centuries, basically. They emerged as more powerful than the king and more powerful than the church, the Catholic, Roman Catholic Church rule.
Let me make sure I'm following you. Are you saying that Templars got the bank started and the Templars were pedophiles and Satanists?
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
Yes. They worshiped the demonic forces. They conjured up these demonic I would call it the interdimensional forces for their knowledge and power, and they engaged in these bizarre and perverse activities as part of their ritual initiations, but also as part of their regular. It's okay to do this, and so as they rose in power, they became the creditors of their day. And, of course, back in the medieval era, there were wars and kingdoms fighting each other. I mean, it was like, violence galore. From the sake of the peasant class, it was like the Pope said, Pope Urban II said, he's the guy that rallied all the troops together and said, "Get down there and kill Muslims." And the peasants had a horrible lifestyle. I mean, they were owned by their masters and who were the noble blood, and they lived very hard life, harsh life, and so when the Pope says, "You can go kill Muslims, you can kill Jews, you can kill any infidel, which is anybody who's not a Catholic, and you will be rewarded for it. That's your ticket to heaven." So they lived a very miserable existence. They were constantly involved in fighting feuds and battles and wars with other, lords of the era in Europe. So it sounded like it was a good idea to them and to be able to go and do all this and then be rewarded for it. So they gathered up quite a group and they just raped and pillaged all their way down into the Holy Land. And I think it was 1096 to 1099, a three-year period, the First Crusade, they did manage by 1099 to overtake Jerusalem from the Muslims, Arab Muslims that had political control of the city of Jerusalem, and they just unmercifully murdered all the residents there who were not Catholic. Jews and Muslims were murdered in mass over a three-day period. They just wiped out the city, basically, everyone that wasn't Roman Catholic. They talk about, the historians talk about blood up to the knees walking around. It's just a total bloodbath, unmerciful bloodbath. And that's how the First Crusade ended. And so it actually ended in, quote, victory for the Christians, in that they did then have control, people of the Holy Land. And it lasted up till, I think it was about 88 years or something like that, and then Muslims retook Jerusalem and the Holy Land from them about 88 years later. But let me see, I was talking about And then they rose up in ranks as far as numbers, up to about 25,000. Now, they weren't all knights. I think about 10% of them were knights out of like the 25,000. They had different ranks. Some were lay people that were just basically, they called them sergeants, and they weren't of noble blood. And then there were the chaplains who were part of the actual Turk clergy. And so they had a racket going and where they actually, gained more control and power over Europe and including the Middle East, part of the Middle East around the Mediterranean anyway. And even into North Africa. And they, had this power for a couple of centuries, but they had rivals, and I'll get into the other order of knights, which are the Malta. They're now called Malta Knights. Before it was the sovereign knight of St. John of Jerusalem. And they actually technically started just a few years earlier than the Templars. And, of course, they still have power, secret power mostly, and are still going. And so I'll get into them, but there was an intense rivalry between the two knights, between the Templars and the Malta Knights. They didn't like each other. But also... the Templars really mixed in. They became friends of what a group called the Assassins, a famous group where they had stealth and they would be dressed up as somebody else other than who they were, and then they pull out a sword and kill their prey. And they were very much feared. But they actually partied with the Templars, actually, supposedly, from Marco Polo and other accounts at the time, they actually smoked hash together. the Muslim group, they were a very small Shiite group that were actually rejected by most of the Muslim sects. Go ahead. You're going to ask a question.
Did the Templars become the elite of today?
Well, that's the thing. They come from the Merovingian bloodline, which is one of the 13 Illuminati bloodlines that are believed to still have power. Yes. They basically the Merovingian bloodline, they were able to infiltrate, and they have Jewish roots, the Merovingian bloodline, and they were able to infiltrate both the church and become Pope. In fact, Pope Urban II, the guy that actually said go kill the Muslims and started the crusade. He was a crypto Jew himself. There had been popes right up to his time that were actually from this Merovingian bloodline of crypto Jews, and so yes, they still have power, they branched out into other secret societies. I'll just finish with the story of the Templars. For two centuries, they were the King Tuts. They had more power than the Malta Knights. They were intense rivals. But they became so powerful that there was a King Philip IV in France who owed them a lot of money. He was fighting wars with England and racked up quite a debt. And he asked for more money, and the Templar said, no way. And he really did fear that they were going to, you know, kill him or put him in prison. So he ended up basically sending out spies that actually were able to infiltrate the Templar Knights and came back with information on the Templar Knights on some of their practices that were obviously not Christian-like, and some of the dark, occult practices, and homosexuality, and bestiality, and the pedophilia, all of this. Now, a lot of the, accounts written by the Freemasons and the Catholics, of course, are saying, well, it was just this vendetta that the King of France had against them, and it was all bullshit. Well, no, there is evidence of that. That's the cover-up and the glossing over to keep this Templar image of pure, when in fact they weren't. And so word is basically that King Philip got together with the Pope and started putting pressure on the Pope, Pope Innocent, I think his name was, in Rome, and they were saying you needed King Philip had this evidence on them, and he said, hey, these guys are devil worshippers, and they need to be excommunicated. So the Pope actually did excommunicate, and they rounded up on Friday the 13th of October, 1307. They rounded up pretty much 2,000 of these Templar Knights in France under the King Philip, and they put them in prison and they tortured them. And this is also where there's a lot of conclusions that have been drawn that the testimony of them engaging in this dark side was based on torture. The Pope actually also at a later time had them testify and give them the opportunity to recant or testify without the duress of any kind of torture. And a whole bunch of them, I think maybe, something like 70 of them basically did recant and say, no, we were actually innocent, including their leader, Jacques Molay, the Grand Master. Anyway, they, at a later time, did confess, and they owned up that this is what we did, and it wasn't pretty. So there is some confirmation that actually they did engage in all these perverse and strange activities. And so basically, from 1307, most of them were in France, they were locked up, but in places like England and Scotland and Spain, they actually were able to get away. They had a fleet, they had everything going. I mean, as far as power and wealth and resources. And they kind of got the heads up before they actually got rounded up in France on October. Friday the 13th of 1307, and they actually were able to escape, thousands of them escaped to Scotland, and they teamed up with the Braveheart guy in Scotland that was going trying to rebel against England, they even got into a battle there. I can't remember the battle, but there was a famous battle that actually was, I think, the last scene of Braveheart. And then the legend goes, and this might be more legend more than fact, but supposedly this British, this English army that had, been very seasoned and they were considered the best military army around, when they saw the knights on the horses coming down from the hill at them, they ran, And it's just like, legend and chivalry and all the rest of the block. So now maybe something like that did happen, possibly. The Templars did, they were veteran warriors. So, maybe they did pose a pretty visual threat to this English army, and maybe they did actually join it because of the Scots, that they didn't even have horsemen. So the guys on horseback were the Templars that had escaped from, and this is at 1319. Yeah, 1319, this big battle up there in Scotland with the army of England. So anyway, it did burn Jacques de Molay and a few others at the stake. And of course, the Inquisition, they started burning it later, and a century later or so, came the Inquisition, and where they did horrible things to a lot of innocent people in the name of God and Catholicism. Anybody basically that was not one of them. And they would, of course, also practice witchcraft and all this kind of stuff. So necromancy. Getting back to the Templars managed to survive in places, as I said, in Spain, they became the Illuminati, basically. Adam Weishaupt in Bavaria in 1776, he founded the Order of Illuminati there in Bavaria, but there were Illuminati orders that pre-existed the 1773 one in Bavaria. And there were the Alumbrados, who were in Spain, and they actually were Illuminati, and I'll talk about the Jesuits. They're another group, the Malta, the Jesuits, the Templars. These are three Catholic groups that are actually, to make a long story short, the roots of the Freemasons are the Templars. And they owe homage, in all their literature and stuff, and historical accounts, they pay much homage to the Templars as them. They reemerge as the Templars, as the Freemasons in Scotland and branching out elsewhere, including Portugal and Spain and other places. Between, and of course we know that the Freemasons are in power in America, and from the very get-go, the Washington architectural design and the obelisks that are based on the Egyptian pagan gods and deities. They got a lot of power. So the Templars through the Freemasons today are enjoying much power in all the governments. And then we have the Malta Knights, and we have the Jesuit order, the Society of Jesus, that started in Spain in 1492 by Ignatius of Loyola, and they're a real cutthroat group. They are involved in, all of these groups are involved in subversion, infiltration, and starting wars, torture, terrorism. They've gained control over the economic system. There's these various groups: Freemasons, Illuminati, Malta Knights, Jesuits. All of these groups are basically Illuminati groups. They are not believers in Jesus Christ, they are not Christian, and their actions certainly are not Christian-like. They are infiltrators of all the government, the military, the religion, all of them. And they have, through the bloodline, retained their power over many, many centuries, and they are devil worshippers. They are occult devil worshippers that have run very large international child trafficking rings that are still going today. They have practiced the sacrifice of children. It gives them power. It literally feeds them. They are the devil. They bring powers of demonic powers that are interdimensional, and they give them power as well as power to themselves. The actual raping and the drinking of the blood and all these gory, demonic, sick, perverse, horrible, worst that you can imagine activities, they've been doing for many, many centuries with complete impunity. And that's why I am writing a book called Empire and Pedophilia. And basically, the other part is, basically sodomy, Satan, and the deep state. Empire and pedophilia, sodomy, Satan, and the deep state is the name of the book that I'm writing. I got approached by two pretty well-known truthers in the movement who I've respected for a long time. One is Fetzer, Jim Fetzer. He approached me, I think back in probably March or so, and I've been writing articles on, I was one of the few actual alternative news journalists that was actually taking up this whole thing called Pizzagate/Pedogate. Since basically early December, I started writing articles on it, and by the time, I think in March, when Jim Fest approached me about doing a book, he was aware of my background in psychology and therapy. You know, I worked out in Los Angeles with the largest Children's Protective Service agency in Clay County. It's the largest in the nation. And I clashed with that system, and we can go into the whole, how they get away with it by being the foxes guarding the hen house. The whole child sex trafficking and all the horrors that they're doing to children. But anyway, I clashed with the system out there in Los Angeles for many, many years as a licensed therapist of children who were pedophilia victims. So my passion for this subject goes very, very deep. And my view is our best chance to basically break the shackles and chains of slavery that they've had on us for centuries through all their subversive means of violence and control and power, corrupt and evil. The best shot we have to bring down the crime cabal, the international governments that control everything, well, they don't control, they're the puppets that are, public puppets. That's the bloodlines that have been controlled for a long, long time. The best way to bring them down and bring justice to all their victims over the centuries is basically to bring the truth out and then to use the Truth and Reconciliation Commission to get the lower level people to basically start telling the truth about the people that are behind them, controlling them, and that have pulled all these horrible things on children and humanity. It's a war against humanity. We're basically in the war of our life right now. They basically declared human genocide on all of humanity. The people that are into the alt news world know that they have a eugenics plan. It's cutting down the population of this earth from, we're about up to 7.5 billion people, and they want between half and 1 billion at the most living on this earth. So we're talking about 90 to 95% of people that are living and breathing at this moment, they want us dead. And they're got plenty of methods by which they do soft kill through the poisons and toxins that we're ingesting and breathing in and drinking and the water and the fluoride and vaccines and all the rest of the horror show that they're putting on us, killing us with a slow death, soft kill methods. And then, of course, they have all the wars going that they've had forever. And those, that's the fast kill method. So, yeah, there's been a eugenic plan to wipe out a big, big percentage. So, you know, Queen Elizabeth's husband, Prince Philip, that scum of the earth, said, yeah, when I want to come back and reincarnate as a virus where I can wipe out a big chunk of our population, you know, this whole Malthusian why that the earth can't sustain the number of people, that we have this overpopulation problem and we just have to get rid of a bunch of human beings. That's a lie that's been perpetrated against humanity to justify the genocide that's going on. So yeah, I know I'm kind of deviating off the topic a little. Well, it's part of the whole topic, but okay. So, all right, I'll let you ask a question.
Have you found any relationship between the elites that control the governments and control the banks and the televangelists that seem to rake in millions and hundreds of millions of dollars? Have you found any relationship there?
Well, there are relationships with the powers that shouldn't be have relationships with these guys that rise up, and I haven't done a lot of research on it, but I know that a number of those guys that make all this money with their evangelism and TV evangelism and have this huge following, they're frauds, and a number of them have been exposed and engaging in all these nefarious and sick kind of perverse activity. And I think that they probably are devil worshippers too, a number of them anyway. I'm not going to like say every single one, but a whole bunch of them. I mean, I don't think you can be too spiritual when you, entice people to hand over their whatever meager amount of money that they have. They're handing over all this money and they become super rich and live this luxurious and rather decadent lifestyle, and then pretend through their gospel word that they're directly related to God and Jesus and all the rest of the dogmas that they put out there. They're a bunch of frauds, a whole bunch of them anyway. And of course, I'm not really a pusher of the Bible and all that, but I do believe certain things that are happening, and they talk about how quote the end days, there's all these idol worship that's going on of false prophets and all this, and we have seen a whole bunch of frauds come out. They're hiding behind their holy wisdom, and they're just the opposite of the image that they try and project. So there's just a lot of deception out there, and that's the whole game, basically, of divide and conquer, is manipulating the masses to be the whole. And I haven't been following a lot of the latest news and all that, but peripherally, I learned, of course, about a little bit about the Charlottesville, Virginia incident, where basically the powers that should not be have been trying to. The Soros crowd, pays all these people to riot in all the cities and against Trump, and they want mass confusion, and they inject this hatred into blaming other groups, and they've been wanting race war, and they've been inciting false flags to, try and start race wars in America, and they want a war where it's the state, the authoritarian tyrants of the state versus the Patriots, and they've been going for this for a long time. They've been preparing for the Civil War, the Second Civil War, for many, many years now. And that's what they want. So I see just a lot of this stuff happening where they did into this whole business, this false business about blaming Putin and Russia. That's just, you know, it's just they have to have a designated enemy in order to justify their perpetual state of war, and where they make all this money. They back both sides in every major war and are always the financial winners. And that's why the bankers are basically the wars are up. The bankers that finance both sides of every war and gain more control in the process by their authoritarian. It's the old Hegelian, you know, problem, solution, and so they just keep repeating the same historical divide and conquer strategy that has allowed them more power, more absolute power over time. And with the technology on their side now, and all this advanced weaponry and electronic weapons, and you know, brainwave control, mind control, you know, they've dumbed down a lot of the masses where they're not able to think clearly. Their brains are fried, or they're polluted with toxins, and so. Yeah, people are in a fog, and they're confused, and they're to blame other people all the time. It's a sad state of affairs, because the handful of humans, and I don't even call them humans, they're really a subhuman, they're psychopaths, they're diseased people that feed literally off the innocence of our young for their lifeblood. And they're not even human. They themselves say they're from basically aliens from other planets. You know, of course, Ike's been talking about this for, you know, a couple of decades now, about the reptilians that emigrated from other planets and stuff. And I actually do believe this now. I was like, well, the reptilian, that's a little bit out there, but I'm actually believing that, well, first of all, I think it's foolish to think that there haven't been visitation and inbreeding of humans from other alien civilizations that have migrated to this Earth. I think it's foolish to discard all that as you know, not true. So supposedly, this handful of subhuman creatures that have been doing all these horrific, terrible things to people for many centuries, supposedly go back to the alien culture and their hybrid, part human, part alien subhuman race. I actually believe this, and they do have this occult practices where they do draw this demonic power, I believe, through their occult, quote, hidden truth, hidden wisdom, in their activity, ritual, satanic activity. And they have taken over the Catholic Church. The Vatican is owned by these Satanists. I mean, we have the late Malachi Martin, who was a Jesuit priest that worked in the Vatican, saying that basically Pope, I think it was the Paul, Pope Paul, John Paul, I think it was, in 1963, he'd been in Pope for about one week, and right there in the Vatican, in one of the churches there, they actually had devil worshiping that the summoning all these demonic forces into the Vatican, and he basically surrounded himself, that Pope, with you know, basically the subversives that had infiltrated that were Satanists, and they've been in control of the Curia, the governing body of the Vatican. They have been in control, and I think that it's no accident that there's for the first time in history, a Jesuit priest that's become now the Pope. That's never happened before. And they now have the white Pope is Francis, and the black Pope, that's the head of the Jesuit order. In December, he came into power, and he's from Venezuela. And Satan lives in the church. It has for a long time, and they have infiltrated all the governments. The Knights of Malta, I mean, you can go there down these lists of Knights of Malta, and they're all the presidents, they're all, even their fathers, like Joe Kennedy was also a Malta Knight, Ted was, and so was JFK, it's almost all the secretaries of state, secretaries of defense. It's incredible the power that and basically they take these oaths. The Jesuits and the Malta Knights, they take these oaths. I think what I'm going to do is actually read a part of this blood oath that they take, where they basically, their soul is owned by the devil, in my opinion, but by the Pope. Apparently, they have this these initiation oaths where they swear their allegiance only to the Pope. Now, these are like ambassadors and secretaries of defense and state, and they are supposed to be working for us, the Americans, our government. But they have strict allegiance to the Pope. And, of course, you know, the Pope and the Vatican are Satanists, I believe. If Francis isn't, he's surrounded by them. I can be sure of that. And I do think that the way he's come off, he's the sheep in wolves clothing. He's alluded to being the last Pope, basically. And he's also been promoting a one-world religion. You know, we know about the one-world government, that all these secret societies for over a century have been, that's been their game plan, the one-world government. And they also want a one-world religion. And the Pope has pretty much been, as a globalist, been paving the way for that. Here's the passage, and this is in the Library of Congress. It's also in the congressional record of one of the Congresses in the early part of the 20th century. And this is an oath that the Jesuits take, and also Malta, the Knights of Columbus. They all take this oath. And let me just read you a little bit of it. I mean, it's incredible. I do further promise and declare that I will, when opportunity presents, make and wage relentless war secretly and openly against all heretics, Protestants and Masons. Now, that's a bunch of bullshit, and I'll get into that part right after this. As I am directed to extirpate them from the face of the whole earth, and that I will spare neither age, sex, or tradition, and that will hang, bum, waste, boil, flay, strangle, and bury alive these infamous heretics, rip up their stomachs and wounds of their women, and crush their infants' heads against the walls in order to annihilate their exercitable race. That when the same cannot be done openly, I will secretly use the poisonous cup, the strangulation cord, the steel of the poniard, or the leaden bullet, regardless of the honor, rank, dignity, or authority of the person, whatever may be their condition in life, either public or private, as I, at any time, may be directed so to do by any agents of the Pope or superior of the Brotherhood of the Holy Father of the Society of Jesus, the Jesuit order, in confirmation of which I hereby dedicate my life, soul, and all corporal powers, and this dagger which I now receive, I will subscribe my name written in my blood and testimony thereof. And should I prove false or weaken in my determination, may my brethren and fellow soldiers of the militia of the Pope cut off my hands and feet and my throat from ear to ear, my belly opened and sulfur burned therein, with all the punishment that can be inflicted upon me on earth, and my soul shall be tortured by demons in eternal hell forever. This is the one oath that these people that are in power take. So, I mean, to me, that sounds like the devil got them, you know? They're sworn to the devil. Their loyalty is to the Pope, not to their country, not to their constitution, not to the people that they serve in these governments, but to the Pope. So they're traitors. They basically are, there's a little conflict of interest there. If their allegiance has to go to the Pope over their own country and their own people. And, and the Malta Knights, they have been some of the, a lot of people know about Operation Paperclip, where we have basically Wild Bill Donovan, head of the OSS during World War II, is a precursor of the CIA. He founded the CIA with Alan Dulles. And these are two Malta Knights, and, Donovan was awarded the top of medal that the Maltas have. But these guys actually brought over, I'd say about, it goes about 2,000 at least, German Nazis that were high up in the power of the party, the Nazi party, also engineers and scientists. So they could basically jumpstart, because of course we know about the Germans, there were some crash landings of flying saucers from aliens, and they were able to gain access and reverse the engineering, and so they had this technology. And so America, obviously, after the war, spoils of war, to get this quote genius technology that has already been developed by the German scientists. So they brought them over to America, to Canada, and to South America, and they allowed these guys to avoid first prosecution at Nuremberg, and they survived and became basically the MKUltra Monarch program. Dr. Mengele, the mad scientist that experimented on so many of the Jews in the concentration camp, he was brought over and lived part of the time in Brazil, but also was in America and was part of the MKUltra program, their mind control program in the 50s and 60s. So this is the element that the Maltas have. I'll give you a list of some of the people. Alan Dulles, General Wild Bill Donovan. So the CIA, basically, almost every CIA director, the CIA and Malta's work together hand in hand. Share intelligence. And of course, the Knights of Malta are a sovereign order where they are recognized like another nation state. And they got like 104 ambassadors, they have relations with other countries, and they're able to have diplomatic immunity, which means that they can go from one country to the next without the customs and without all the rest of the laws and rules that apply, and they're able to basically move money, and so they are engaged in laundering money, and because of the diplomatic immunity, they're able to get away with it even more than the CIA can. This is who we're up against. And, of course, they have a Protestant order of the Order of St. John of Jerusalem, and that's run by Queen Elizabeth. And so here's a few of the people. They, all the top people in America, you know, they have Prescott Bush, the grandpa of Bush, and he, of course, financed Hitler, you know, as did a number of other globalists from America, and like they do in every war, Rothschild money. But anyway, Prescott Bush was a Malta Knight. So, of course, it's George H.W. and George W., including even the underachieving brother, Jeb Bush, who was the leader of this last presidential election. And, of course, the mastermind of 9-1-1, the pedophile Dick Cheney. By the way, all these guys are pedophiles, too. All you need to do is look up some of the Kathy O'Brien, and there's a whole bunch of, thankfully, there are people who have been programmed as children that have been able to escape this MK Ultra mind control monarch programming and recall some of their memories and then talk about it, and they're the sex kittens, they serve the elite class as children, basically, even starting with pedophilia. So many of the presidents are pedophiles. It's really pathetic. But that's the way in which the system has operated for many, many years. They, through blackmail, they're able to, you know, get politicians and CEOs and bankers and all the people that have power into these compromising positions. Sometimes they will even drug the politician, and the politician thinks he's going to bed with an adult woman, and he might actually have done that. But because he's drugged, they then substitute a child in there, and of course, they've got all the cameras going. And so they get the goods, the dirty goods, the dirty laundry from these people, and they threaten to bring them down unless. And a lot of this is also, you know, the Jeffrey Epstein, he's a case with his girlfriend, who's the daughter of Maxwell, the super agent that was part of the Mossad in the UK. And they basically had their scheme going, where it was a blackmail scheme to get people like, pretty much Bill and Hillary Clinton basically rode rides on that plane over and over and over again, down to the Caribbean island. Even Trump, he compromised as well. Getting back to, some of these, all the people in power, basically Joe Biden, if you've ever seen any of the videos that have been compiled on this guy where he's fondling all these little girls, you can tell right off the guy is a sicko. They can't keep his hands off these little girls and whispering stuff into their ears. I mean, he is definitely a pedophile. There is no doubt about it. But Dick Cheney, Bill Clinton, of course, his wife, Bill the Beast, and even Dwight David Eisenhower, it was a Malta Knight, JFK. Then they get the CFR president, Richard Hawk, Peter D. Peterson. They get a lot of the senators that are, especially with foreign relations, John Danforth, Richard Lugar, Bob Gold, Pete Domenici, Jeremiah Denton, Ted Kennedy, Rick Santorum, Dianne Feinstein. They're all Malta Knights. Arnold Schwarzenegger, while he was governor, he became a Malta Knight. Even the L.A. city mayor, ex-mayor Richard Reardon, Malta Knight. Congressman Darrell Issa from Southern California, Orange County, Malta Knight. Like I said, the Secretaries of State and Defense and all this, they're always Malta Knights. Madeleine Albright, Clinton's Secretary of State, who on 60 Minutes said, without flinching or, not a beat went by, and she said, yes, it's worth killing 500,000 Iraqi kids. This is sick stuff, but they worship the devil, so there you go. Frank Carlucci, the CEO of Carlyle Group that runs right there with the Bush and the Bin Ladens, he's one. The dual citizens of Israel that have loyalty to Israel and be damned with America, traitors, John Bolton, the former U.N. ambassador, Michael Chertoff, boy, he's a case. He actually co-wrote the Patriot Act, which is based on the Russian and German Nazi tyranny. That's how it was pre-written, by the way, before 9/11 by Michael Chertoff, a Vietnamese person, American Vietnamese guy from Georgetown, which is the Jesuit University in America. So many, by the way, 10% of our Congress are alumni from Jesuit University. So they really focused, the Jesuit order is focused on education and propaganda big time. And over 10% of our Congress people are from Jesuit University, trained and indoctrinated by the Jesuit order. I can get into more of that one too. Time permits, but yeah, I'm just kind of going on and on here. But then we have the dictators of the world. We
Joaquin.
Have Augusto Pinochet and Fidel Castro was one. Kurt Waldheim, the ex-Nazi, and Tony Blair. Of course, King Juan Carlos, he's the Maltese King of Jerusalem in Middle East and North Africa from Spain. He is a Malta Knight, of course, and he comes from the Merovingian, the Illuminati bloodline. I met Queen Elizabeth, and the list goes on and on. Of course, Bernard Francis Law, Boston Archdiocese. Archbishop that got busted, for the whole pedophilia scam of the Catholic Church was busted by the journalist there in the Boston Globe, and the movie, the Oscar-winning movie, The Spotlight, from 2015 came out, but they busted them in the Pope, not Pope, but Cardinal Law, in 2002. Of course, then there's the in the same way that, J. Edgar Hoover also, by the way, he got him all the night too with his intelligence information and blackmail information on everybody as well. But also the Malta Knight Archdiocese of Cardinal from New York, the biggest archdiocese in America, Francis Cardinal Spellman, who was actually a homosexual and a pedophile as well. But he ruled the Roost from 1939 to 1967 and was part of the JFK assassination, working with Alan Dulles and John McClone. And he also made trips to Vietnam. He was part of the Vietnam War. And that was one of the reasons, of course, they got rid of Kennedy, because he was bringing back all the advisors and refusing to go along with having a war in Southeast Asia. This is just, and then another little group called Opus Dei. There's another Catholic, real conservative, fascist group. The founder in the 1920s, he supported Franco for all the half century or whatever. He was the dictator of Spain, and said very high words about Hitler as well. So the Opus Dei is another Catholic group that's infiltrated and has very powerful people in it. This is just Malta Knights also flow in. They have Alan Greenspan and Paul Volcker, who is also the VP of Pilgrim Society and other ultra-conservative, subversive secret order groups, Pilgrim Society, a lot of wealth and power there. The founder of Monsanto, Francis Queen, was a Malta Knight. Lee Iacocca, the Chrysler guy, Malta Knight. Rupert Murdoch, they own much of the mainstream media. Rupert Murdoch, Ted Turner, William Buckley, was a CIA operative as well as Malta Knight. Charlie Rose, the fixture on on mainstream media, CBS. He's a Malta Knight, but also a CFR member. Oh, by the way, you know, half these guys are CFR also, over half. Actually, almost everybody I named is also was or is a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, which is the group that dictates U.S. foreign policy. Bob Hope,
Joaquin,
a pedophile and part of the MK Ultra program and Satanist. Jimmy Savile was a Malta Knight. You know about him from England. That they all had horror children for over a half century there, and the royalty just worked at that guy. He pinned kids out to other powerful people in the UK.
Sorry to interrupt you. We are about 15 minutes over my hour limit, and I want to thank you for coming on the show. Could you please tell people about your website? And it sounds like you're getting ready to write a book.
Well, I've written six chapters now, so I'm almost about halfway through this book. Yes, it's exposing the power elite that's behind the pedophilia rings, that's behind the all these horrible things that are being done on this earth. It exposes it all. And I'm writing a book, as I mentioned, it's called Empire and Pedophilia, Satan, Sodomy, and the Deep State. And I've teamed up with Robert David Steele, also approached me to write this book. So I'll probably end up writing a couple of books because it's such an important thing to expose the truth about the pedophilia. Because if anything's going to motivate a person to become an activist, outrage, and demand justice, it's knowing and accepting the fact that they're doing these horrible things to children. So, yes, and all my material is being posted, so you can read the chapters as I go along. They're posted on my blog site, empireexposed.blogspot. Look up my name, Joaquin Hagopian, J-O-A-C-H-I-M, Hagopian, H-A-G-O-P-I-A-N. And then I have a lot of articles that I've written in the past few years on global research and Lou Rockwell and SOT.net, also SOTT.net. A lot of my material is found there, or you can go directly for my latest material. To my Empire Exposed blog spot. So, yeah, thanks a lot, Mark, for giving me a chance to rant for an hour and whatever we've been talking.
All right, have a great evening. We'll see you. Bye-bye.
All right, thank you.